Welcome to Bardo's Breakdown, the podcast that gives you the complete 411 on Big Ten basketball. And now your host, former NBA and Flying Illini great, Stephen Bardo.
Welcome to another edition of Bardo's Breakdown. I'm your host, Stephen Bardo, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Penn State head coach, Pat Chambers. Coach, how's your summer gone thus far?
Summer's been great. Our team's gotten better. We hit the triple hard in July. Some good things are happening here in Happy Valley.
Well, I know you guys have been busy because you guys do a really good job on social media of updating people, and I'll get to that in a little bit. I want to talk about DJ Newbill. He's had a busy summer going to Kevin Durant and LeBron James' Nike Academies. Has he shared his experiences with you?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, it's great for our program and really shows that we can develop our players. Tim Frazier went the summer before that, and now DJ going this year. And he had to earn his way in. He went to KD and really played hard and did some good things from a lot of the reports that I received. And then he went to LeBron and played a lot of point at LeBron. And again, you know how many scouts are there for that. So for him as an individual and for us as a program, it's great. Playing against the best players in the country, he felt like he held his own or even competed on a higher level. So the experiences were amazing. He was able to talk to other Big Ten players about the league, about the coaches. So what he shares with our team is vital in their growth and us becoming, you know, a better team in our league.
Do you think those experiences this summer really helped him in terms of being he was a go-to scorer, of course, but he had Tim Frazier by his side. He's going to be a hunted guy coming up this season. What do you think these experiences will help him in that regard?
There's no doubt. Now, DJ can play multiple positions. That's what's going to help him. The fact that he was trying to be a leader and very vocal at both those camps, obviously, that's going to be really important. Without Tim, he's got to be that vocal leader that helps a Brandon Taylor, that helps a Geno Thorpe, that works with Ross Travis to get this team over the hump. Now, we're older, we're wiser. We have a lot of juniors and seniors. We got close to 75% of our team back. So they should understand from past experiences and past years what we're going into. But it can only help DJ and this program moving forward.
Sure. You also got some good news on Julian Moore. He received a medical red shirt, so he's got 4 years of eligibility left. What will he bring to the program moving forward that you see?
You know, he's going to be a unique talent for us. He reminds me a little of Aaron White, where he's, you know, he's 6'10". He's probably a little bit taller than Aaron, but very athletic, just like Aaron. He's really developing his three-point shot, which you might find shocking to believe that I'm letting him shoot threes. But when you got a guy who can run and jump and finish, and he's worked on his back to the basket, he shoots great free throws. He's a shot blocker. I mean, you got to tap into everything he's really good at. So I look for him making a major impact. Again, he's only played in a few games. Obviously, he got a medical red shirt because of his nose and what happened and all that stuff. But, you know, he's still like a freshman, so he's got to learn. He's got to learn.
Right.
I mean, he didn't play a minute in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is a whole different level of physics.
Sure. You know, I want to continue, Coach, because you seem to be really building some good momentum in your program. You know, you got commitments from some very good players in Mike Watkins. Let me. I don't want to mess this kid's name up. Davis Zemgulis and Josh Reeves. You know, I was reading some of the quotes that Mike Watkins said, and he said what sold him on the Penn State program was the vision that you sell and the confidence of which you speak about your program. Can you share some of that vision that you are telling prospective student-athletes and luring them to Penn State? Can you share that with us?
As far as vision for our program, you know, we want the total package. We want winners. We want competitors. We want guys that come in here that love to play basketball. But you also got to be very serious about your degree. I mean,
sure.
You're coming here to get your degree. And I think that's really important. So that's what we're telling our guys. Look, you're going to get a degree from Penn State. You're going to be a part of the Big Ten. There's nothing like the competition in the Big Ten. There's nothing like the coaches in the Big Ten. With certain cases, you know, we're only a 3 to 4 hour bus ride from the East Coast, which is, you know, New York, New Jersey, Philly, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. So we're close. So you're far enough away where you can have your own life, and you're close enough to be with your family where they can see you play all the time. So we're just talking about total experience and where this program's headed. I mean, I know we had 10 games that we lost by an average of 3 points. Trust me, as you know, Stephen, it still hurts. And
sure.
I had to watch all those games this summer, and it still pains me. But you have to do it because as a coach, you want to get better. And you got to put yourself back in that moment and say, why did you do this? Why did you do that? I think people are starting to see that I want to be in the top echelon of the Big Ten. I want to go to the NCAA tournament every year. I'm used to that. In Villanova, when I was there as an assistant and as a head associate coach, it was Sweet 16, Elite Eight, NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, Final Four. So you
right.
get a little, you know, you get a little, I don't know, you like that. You like going to the NCAA tournament every year.
Heck,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what, yeah, I mean, that I shouldn't be coaching if that's not what I aspire to do with this program.
Yeah, I hear you, Coach. And I, you know, you mentioned something about last year. Let's go back to that a little bit. You guys start off rough in the Big Ten, but you finished 6-6 down the stretch. I call the games where you won at Ohio State and at Indiana. What do you attribute that turnaround to? Because you guys, you were in a tough position there, you know, starting a Big Ten slate, but you guys turned around and had some big wins. What do you attribute that to?
You know, we just went back to – we simplified and got back to the basics. We were so close in those first six games where we went 0-6. I mean, the game at Purdue was – I still can't believe we lost that game. It was a fluke. You know, we're up, we're ready to win a game, and they hit a tough three and whatever. That game, the home game at Minnesota being up, and Tim and DJ both foul out. Just different things, weird experiences happened to us in those first six. We were also bringing back John Johnson and Jordan Dickerson, who sat out the first semester. We were trying to get them involved and get them in the rotation. I think that hurt as well. And then we kind of settled down, and we settled in. We upset Nebraska here at home, and then I think we found our way. Then we go on the road. We beat Ohio State, and we played very competitive basketball. I felt like we were in every game except for two, Michigan State's second half at their place, and Nebraska start to finish. They were just rolling at the end of the year. But overall, I felt like we competed. I felt like the level of talent is gaining on everybody else. I don't know if it's quite there yet. This year I think it might be there, but last year I felt it was closer. I didn't feel like, you know, I had to be too gimmicky anymore. I could really just go, this is what we're doing, this is how we're playing, let's go play.
Okay. And you, boy, you coming into this season, Coach, you really lose a great player, not just to your program, but to the Big Ten Conference. I love Tim Frazier. You lose him to graduation. What did he mean to your program, and how do you plan to replace his production and presence?
I'm glad you know he's not replaceable, as you know. No one you
sure.
weren't replaceable when you left. You know, it's hard to replace a Bardo. It's hard to replace a Frazier. Tim Frazier bought in, and he didn't have to. You know, I came in. He was going to be a junior. I was fortunate, and I know I'm saying this, I was fortunate that he got hurt, and he was fortunate he got hurt, so I could spend more time with him and really
sure.
teach him how to become a man, teach him the game of basketball, teach him how to work, teach him how to sacrifice, teach him to become a leader. And I think he did that, and he bought into it. He spent countless hours in my office, and we became so close that I'm going to miss him. I already do. I was on the phone with him yesterday, probably twice. I was on the phone with him, and then I texted with him because he's with Boston right now at their training camp, which is exciting, which is a really exciting. A kid where he was, you know, a freshman who was averaging, you know, less than 5 points a game, who became all you know, all conference, and now he's at least getting a look at with the big boys with the Boston Celtics. That's exciting. So it's going to be hard to replace him. However, you got DJ, you got Ross, you got Brandon Taylor, you got guys who have been through the wars and the battles over the last 3 years, and you hope that they can take what they taught them about work ethic and coming with your lunch pail every day and bring that type of competition and you know, being ferocious on the floor and continue to lead this program. Tim Frazier laid the bricks. You know, he didn't receive the benefits of going to the NCAA tournament. But I think what you're going to see in the future, because of him, he's helped us.
For sure. You know, I want to go back to something you mentioned a little bit earlier. You talked about the proximity of Penn State to the East Coast. And with Maryland and Rutgers joining the Big Ten season, or Big Ten Conference this season, how do you think, how will it affect their presence on your program in terms of recruiting and having two schools now that are much closer in proximity to where Penn State is? In my opinion, it would seem to help. What's your opinion on that?
Stephen, I'm right with you. I was fired up that they were coming in because now, you know, we're recruiting those areas very hard. And it's another opportunity for their families to see them play. I mean, literally, when I first took this job, people thought we were in the Midwest. You know, they only knew Big East. I'm serious. They only knew Big East and ACC. They had no clue that we were actually in the state of Pennsylvania and we were only three and a half hours away. Now with Rutgers and Maryland coming in now, you know, and the Big Ten is branding so hard on the East Coast, I mean, they're helping us. I went to New York. I was in New York for a function. I mean, I was there. I mean, it's exciting. And we're you know, in proximity, we're close by. So that's going to help us. And I'll be up front with you. I think the power of the autonomy, I think that's going to help us too. And I think we're starting to see it. We're finally, Stephen, it's taken us 3 years. Somebody just sent me an email about where our recruiting classes have been. It's been terrible. We finally are starting to hear yeses. And for me in this program, where it needs to be, it's really exciting time here at Penn State.
Well, yeah, that's obvious too, Coach, because, you know, when I look at your schedule this season, your non-conference slate is as challenging as most in the Big Ten. You know, you start at the Charleston Classic, and you start out with Charlotte and have South Carolina on your side of the bracket. You host Akron 2 days after that. Then you go to Bucknell. You go to Marshall. You host George Washington, and you play Drexel in a two-game series in the next two seasons, all before the Big Ten slate. You know, was this the year that you were looking at really stepping up your non-conference slate because of the returning players?
What I would tell you is we you know, I get it. I'm for it too. You need wins. There's no question. We need to be tested. We need to go up against really good basketball teams, really good coaches. And that's what we're doing. And that's going to prepare us for the Big Ten. I think that's the only way we can do it. And most of those teams, top 100 or 125 RPI or lower for this upcoming, or if you look into the future, that's what it's going to be. Yeah, Kansas isn't on there. Kentucky's isn't on there. But really good teams are on there. Really good coaches are on. And really good players are on there. We are going to be challenged. And with a team that has EJ and Ross and John Johnson and Jordan Dickerson and Donovan Jack, I mean, I got to challenge these guys. And that's what I'm trying to do to get us ready.
Okay, we're going to transition a little bit from the seriousness, and I'll give you a couple questions as we close. who started the social media presence for your program, Coach? I mean, the Instagram, you know, the Twitter. I really like what you guys are doing. It keeps people informed. Who kind of started that, and you know, who gets credit for that?
I want to say Tim Miles, but I can't give him that credit. You know what? It was something we were doing, but it was really a once a day thing. And I sat down with James Franklin, so I want to give James the credit. He is a machine on social media, an absolute machine. And I sat down with him and I asked him why, and I asked him why is he doing it? Why does he think it's powerful? And why does he think, you know, the reason? And he gave me Let them let people know what you're doing. Let people know your staff's working and positives that people don't ever get to hear about. They need to hear about it. So I give him the credit. Once then we've changed the tune. We have meetings, have Instagram, we have social media meetings over what we're going to do that week, what we're going to put out that month. Crazy.
Coach, did I lose you there?
So I lost you for a second. Did you hear the last part?
No, I didn't. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I basically was saying because of James Franklin, we have social media meetings to say what are we going to do this week and what are we doing the rest of the month. So we're prepared every week, every month on exactly what we're sharing with the public.
Wow, that's an innovative approach. I haven't really heard that in terms of meeting weekly. So, kudos
that's my
to you
business,
guys.
Steven, that's my business background coming in, my business and marketing background.
I got you. I like it, though. I mean, it's very effective. And then last question, Coach, I ask everybody this as we close the podcast. If I were to jump in your car or your truck right now, what am I going to hear in Pat Chambers' car or truck, the music? What's in your music rotation?
Wow, great question. awesome. I absolutely love it. Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake were probably one. For a while, Happy was probably two. I like that new song. I can't remember the name of it right now. It's killing me. But, you know, I'm an old school R&B. I got a soul.
Coach, you there? Did I lose you?
Nah, I got you. We back again?
Yeah, we're back. I got you.
Yeah, so I got an R&B ear, so I like the old school Michael Jackson stuff.
I love it.
How about you? Did anybody ask you? I'm going to throw it back at you. How about you?
Well, I'm an old school hip-hop head, so, you know, I like Public Enemy, EPMD, Tribe Called Quest. You know, I'm also
love the Tribe.
Old school R&B guy. I like that Philly sound too, though.
Some of that music
that came out of the Philly. I'm big on that as well. So I like.
You mean Boys to Men type stuff? Boys to Men type stuff? Or are you going back to the 70s, early 80s?
I'm going back to the 70s, early 80s. You know,
like Teddy Prendergrass and those
sure.
guys. That's who you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, all the way from him, all the way up through the Roots. And, you know, Philly's an underrated music scene. But I'm a fan for sure.
Me too, buddy. That's why you and I get along so well.
Well, Coach, hey, man, thanks so much for your time and joining us. That's Penn State head coach Pat Chambers. And, Coach, I look forward to seeing you here in the preseason before the season gets going.
Steven, good luck, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
All right. That's head coach Pat Chambers of Penn State. That'll do it for another edition of Bartles Breakdown. For more information, tune in next week. Until then, holla!